Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. If you want to get more tips, strategies, and downloads, go to my website at theroofershow.com. Today, we've got another solo cast where it's just me, and we're going to finish up from last week with our second part of how to build a professional business plan. And if you missed last week's show, episode 9, I suggest you go back there and get up to speed. Go to my website at theroofershow.com and download the one-page business plan on the podcast page and fill it in with us on your computer, print, and boom, you're done. You'll have an outline of where you want to take your company and a roadmap to get you there. But first, I want to tell you about a great seminar that I went to last week. It's called Making the Numbers Work in Construction. And I want to give a big shout out to Michael Stone with markupandprofit.com. I've been a contractor for over 30 years and learned a few things along the way. But in Michael's class, I picked up a ton of information that I wish I had when I was starting my business. And I could have avoided a lot of pain. Great class. Highly recommend it. You can get more information about the schedule of classes from Michael's website at markupandprofit.com. And if you do nothing else, check out his books. They've got some great material. So take your head out of the sand and check your ego at the door and always be learning from others that have been there and done it well. Or do it the hard and painful way. Your choice. So let's jump into today's show. It's part two of how to create a one-page business plan in just a few hours. Last week, we covered the first two out of our 8 steps for building the plan. First, we know exactly where we want to take our company, our destination, or our end. Now I'm ready to fill out my PDF for step number 1. And let's say I'm 45 years old. I want to retire when I'm 60. I want to sell my company to an outside investor for $3 million. I want to buy a property that I'm going to rent back to my business. In 15 years, I should have that paid off, generating me some serious income for retirement. And I'm also going to look for other opportunities in real estate, which I come across periodically. Let's shorten that down so we can fit it on our page. Retire when I'm 60, sell my company for $3 million to an outside investor, own my office building free and clear to generate income for retirement. The property will be set up as an LLC and will not be tied to the company. Now we're going to come back around and we're going to reverse engineer a roadmap to get us there in the most direct route. So, and we're not putting duct tape over the gas and the other gauges on our dashboard and start driving and hope to figure out where the fastest route. That's how most contractors run their business and why over 90% will never reach their destination. They just run out of gas. Last week, we got started on our roadmap with step number 2, and that was to determine what type of products we were going to sell. Was it going to be residential, maintenance, maybe coatings, whatever that type of work was going to be. We were not going to try to be everything to everybody by selling anything that had a roof. Because we know that the riches are in the niches, and that's where the money's at. So we're going to pin that down to exactly what we do best. Next, we identified exactly who our ideal customer was, why we wanted to sell to them, not wasting our time with a bunch of price shoppers and tire kickers that weren't going to buy from us anyway. We figured out how to find them and how to get more of them. We found out why they would buy from us, not our competition, because we were able to show them how we were different and better, even if we did have a higher price using our unique selling proposition. Let's go back to our PDF and fill out for your customer the what, Let's say we sell steep residential roofing, and that's 80% of our business. 15% gutters, 5% repair and maintenance. Who do we sell it to? We sell it to 47 years old. They're married, have young children, both parents work, income $150,000 and over, and they have a 20-year-old home. Where do we sell it? Well, Tri-County area, neighborhood average, 20 years, children in middle school. We can find them out on the soccer field on the weekends. Why do they want to do business with us and not our competitors? We've been in business 25 years. We have a unique process to ensure quality. We can show you that. 5-star reviews and testimonials, ton of those. And all our employees are screened so you can be assured that they're going to be clean and can be trusted to work on your home. That brings us up to speed from last week. So let's get into step number 3, which I call the focus, or the 1-minute elevator pitch. At business school, the first thing they teach you when you're building your make-believe widget factory and so forth, is that you need to come up with a mission statement. A mission statement answers, why do we exist? And it should be short and memorable and inspiring. It tells you who are you, what business are you in, who do you do it for? What problems do you solve for your customer? What makes you different from your competition? What's the unique benefit for your customer? Here's a sample statement from a construction company. To perform for our customers the highest level of quality construction services at fair and market competitive prices. To ensure the longevity of our company through repeat and referral business achieved by customer satisfaction in all areas, including timeliness, attention to detail, and service-minded attitudes. Blah, 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 blah. Sounds a little long and cumbersome, not exactly concise and memorable. First time around, we came up with our own mission statement and spent a lot of time on it, perfected it. It was great. We put it up on a plaque in our lobby, and it didn't take us long before nobody could remember what it was or what it meant. So what's the point of that? But you still need to have a clear focus of what your company does and what you're about. So I came up with, rather than a mission statement, came up with something that we could use every day and that would bring in more leads for us. And I call that the elevator pitch. When you own a business, you need to be prepared to talk about your company just at a moment's notice. So if you've ever been to a conference or a networking group and somebody asks you what you do for a living, and this simple question and the seconds that follow can make the difference between a new client or an alienated stranger running for the door. So we never know who's going to be asking that question. It could be the largest property manager in town. So we got to be prepared to give an engaging answer. And that's what an elevator pitch is all about. Gives others an introduction to you and your company and what you can do for them in the short time it takes to ride down an elevator from somebody in a high-rise building. It's a 10, 30, or 60-second description of why somebody would want to work with you. And it needs to be adaptable to each situation because most people lose interest in something after about 10 seconds. So you have to capture their attention quickly. And it's conversational. It's not a sales pitch, but an introduction to your service and how it can help them. It's meant to start a conversation where the person just wants to know more about it and what you do. There are 4 parts to a memorable elevator pitch. First is, what is the pain or fear in your market that your company addresses? Second, how are you uniquely qualified to solve this problem? 3, what is the main benefit that you give? And last, what action do you want them to take? Here's a couple of examples. Which one sounds best? Here's number 1. Hi, I'm Dave, and I own ABC Roofing. We're full-service roofing contractors, and we do all types of roofing, including single-ply, built-up, metal, and comp shingles. We put on quality roofs and have great service at competitive prices. We're members of a couple of associations, have won a number of awards, and, nice to meet you, as he runs out the door. Now, here's the second one. How about this one? I'm Dave from ABC Roofing. We keep the rain from damaging the inside of your home. We do this by fixing roof leaks fast and installing new long-lasting roofs that will improve the beauty and value of your home. Most homeowners don't realize that roofing contractors have the highest number of complaints with the Better Business Bureau than any other construction service, mostly due to leaks caused by poor workmanship that don't show up until the roofer is long gone and out of business. You see, a roof has to be assembled and installed outside the eye of the homeowner, and having a company you can trust to do the job right is critical. We are uniquely qualified, as we've been in business for 20 years and can provide you the phone numbers of dozens of satisfied customers that have used our services to keep rain from damaging the inside of their homes. If you give me your email address, I'll send you our free guide, 5 Critical Steps to Hiring a Qualified Roofing Contractor That You Can Trust. So, which one of these things is going to end up more likely to get you a lead, do you think? So be prepared. When you only have 10 seconds to gain someone's interest, you've got to make those seconds count. Otherwise, they're gone. Here's a few tips to help you out. So, be direct. Explain what problem you address and how you're uniquely qualified to solve it. Be clear and concise. And don't use a bunch of industry jargon that nobody can understand or care about. Makes you sound like an idiot. Be motivating. Make them want to take the next step and make that step easy. What action do you want them to take? But be prepared. And next time somebody asks you, so what do? You want to be ready for that. And practice. Practice it. I feel a quote coming on. This is from Albert Einstein. If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. So that's pretty straightforward. I like that. Let's go to our PDF, fill in your focus. So come up with your own, but maybe for our pitch. The problem is fly-by-night, messy contractors. And we solve this with our 25 years of experience. We have a special clean program on how to keep the job site and your home clean while we're doing a job. We get this long list of references that we're going to give you their phone numbers. We have a process flow chart to ensure that you get a quality job. And I'd like to email you our brochure about 10 ways to select a contractor that you can trust. Let's get into the fourth step, the SWOT. It's our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Let's look at our strengths. What do we have that gives us an advantage over our competition? Maybe we've got a great, hardworking, loyal workforce that gets the job done, or maybe we've got a strong lead generation system that gives us a lot of leads to choose from. But we want to get that down, make a list, and so that way you can play to your strengths. Every business has some weak areas, so let's look at our weaknesses. Some areas that we're making costly mistakes. This may be, maybe it's job supervision, and it's resulting in profit leakage, or maybe we've got a bad closing ratio. We'll need to get some people to some sales classes, but we'll want to identify those so we can either improve them or maybe we'll just work around them. But we have to acknowledge them. What are our opportunities? Maybe there's some new products on the market. Maybe we're going to try to develop a new maintenance program or maintenance department. Maybe that's an opportunity to expand our business and make some more money. We want to take a good hard look at what's out there, and then we'll want to identify them and we'll want to go dominate them. What about our threats? Maybe there's some new competition in town and they're coming by our jobs and poaching our guys. That's a real problem. But we need to identify them, see what's out there, and how we're going to prevent them from hurting us. Let's go to our PDF for your SWOT. Let's look at strengths. I filled in a few things on mine here. Quality field workers. We've got a great training program. We do quality work, marketing for high quantity of leads. Our weaknesses, and maybe it's our accounting systems. So we're having trouble getting timely job reports and costings. And our website is not converting. Opportunities. Thinking about how about a window replacement division? We've got a strong market, so we're able to raise prices. And our threats, we've got an aging workforce. That's going to be a real problem, so we're going to have to do some recruiting. And we're having a difficulty finding good salesmen, and that's holding down growth. And we're relying on a couple of key people. That's a dangerous situation to be in. But we've identified strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and we've got our list, and we know what we're dealing with now, so we're ready to move on. And that's our fifth step, the operation. This business is really pretty simple. All you do is sell work, you do work, and you keep score. Just like the three legs of a stool. But the difficult part of this business is keeping that stool strong and sturdy, because you know, one or two of the legs tends to get weak at times, and the whole thing may even topple over. So sometimes you've got a full book of business, but you don't have the guys to do the work, or you've got the guys, but you don't have the sales. So our sell work leg is weak, or we can't get the reports that we need for the field, or we can't get the invoices out because our accounting department leg is weak. We're going to take a hard look at each of these legs and set up the processes for each area. And let's take a look at the sales. We're going to sell work. So what's our lead generation like? How are we doing on our marketing? Are we getting enough leads that we can be selective and choose just the ones that we want? So we're going to improve our close ratio. What's the process that's going to go through that lead comes in? From the contact, we're going to do it the same way. And here's our script, basically, that we're going to sell each job the same way. So let's get that down, be clear, see if we got any hiccups, and write the process down until we get to the sale. Now, then we're going to get into the work. We have to have a clean handoff. And what's the process there? We all meet at the job, do a pre-job meeting, make sure our numbers look good, meet with the customer, make sure everybody's happy, and we get off to a good start. Throughout the job, we're going to have good reporting. We're going to get regular reports on actual versus estimated costs. And if we get a problem during the job, we're going to have to stop, regroup, figure out the best way to wrap this thing up and get the job done profitably. All the way to the end of the job, we're going to do our perfect 10. That's our quality control. So we go down, make sure everything's done correctly, meet with the customer, do a final, warranties issued. We ask for the referrals and a review for our work, and we wrap that up. Now, what about our accounting department? How's that leg of the stool looking? Do we have good accounting systems? Are we getting good reporting, not only from the accounting, but also what's the handoff from the field? Are we getting the time in? Are we getting the materials? Are we getting our purchase orders straightened out? How is all that going? We got to take a good hard look and make sure that everything is in balance and we've got a strong stool. Let's go to the operation, our PDF, where our three-legged stool is. We're going to sell work. Well, we want to know exactly where our leads are coming from, how we're doing. We get some from our website, referrals, other sources. What's our close rate look like? We're getting 1 out of 2. Well, that probably means that we're too cheap. We're getting 50% of the jobs, so we want to raise our prices. Or we're selling 1 in 5. Now, that might be because we got crappy salesmen. We're going to need to get them to some sales training. We're going to do work. Okay, well, we've got good productivity, but we've got too many callbacks. And we're weak on the final inspections. Or maybe we've got a weak safety program and need to beef that up. We're going to keep score. What's that look like? Well, our accounting process is weak. We got poor job reports. Can't get them on time. Job's already over by the time we find out we're losing money. We have no post-job reviews. We're getting on to the next job, so we're not really learning from our mistakes or what we're doing well. And we can't get our job budgets in. So we're kind of shooting in the dark, so that's a bad situation to be in. But at least we know where we're at, and where we need to beef up these legs. Step number 6 to our business plan is the process. We just won a 2-week all-expense-paid vacation to Maui. But the only catch is you have to leave next Monday. Well, most contractors would never be able to do that because they're just chained to their business and it wouldn't run without them. It's because they never created the systems and processes that are necessary to build a company that doesn't rely on just one or two people. There's no written systems for all the critical operations and where the steps for each person are clearly defined and responsibilities are assigned. If you're going to build a company that has value to an outside investor that you can sell this business to at the end of the road, you're going to need to have a clear process of how this is done and can't be reliant on just you. So you should be able to take that 2-week vacation because you've got what I called my Maui reports. You know what's going on there. You've got the people that are in place. They know exactly what to do because you've written an operations manual for each of those jobs. And it's in balance. You've got your orchestra. You're directing the orchestra, not sitting in there making every decision for the company using a rake structure of management where everything has to pull through you. And that's how you're going to build value. And that's in the process of running your company. This is what we call working on your business and not just working in your business. And that's the problem that so many people have. They're just so caught up in the day-to-day working in their business that they never take the time to work on their business and build some of these processes and take a good hard look at what needs to be done, what positions you're going to need to make all this happen. And most of this is usually caused by fear from the owner, letting go. People aren't going to do it as well as I would do it, so I might as well just do it myself. And that keeps them stuck in that position. You're going to need to take the time to work on your business and take a look at the forest through the trees. See which positions you're going to need to grow your company to get to where you want to go. Make sure those people are trained. Make sure the positions, more importantly, are well-defined, that you've got an operating manual for each of those positions. And as the company grows, you're going to have to add on new positions, and you need to know exactly what those are going to look like and to find the right people. Keep your people happy, keep them trained, and make sure that they're able to take the responsibility and get out of the way and let them do their job. Let's jump into our PDF and take a look at what our process looks like. Are we able to take that 2-week vacation? Hopefully the answer is yes, but if it's no, you're going to need to take a hard look at what you're going to need to do because that's the place you want to be. Sitting on the beach doing your Maui reports, knowing exactly what's going on in your business every minute, but it's not reliant on just you or a few key people that could leave any time and bring the whole thing down. So get your processes in place. Is something holding you back or your fears holding you back? You need to get your mind right. And if we're going to hit our end, which we've identified as where we want to go, we're going to need to make sure those processes and systems are all in place to get us there. So what are you going to write in for your process? It's going to be short, sweet. Hopefully you can do it. Hopefully you can take that 2-week vacation and it's all looking good. All right, we're making some progress here. We're getting through this. Okay, number 7 is the action, the one thing. And what's the one thing that's going to make the real difference in this business for us? The one thing that we want to focus on right now. We can make up this long list of action items and things we need to do and come up with 100 items, and we're just going to get overwhelmed. So what is it right now, that one thing, that is going to make the difference? It's like the movie City Slickers with Curly. Curly says the secret to life is that one thing, and you've got to figure it out. But if you concentrate on doing that one thing well, make sure you know who's going to do it when it's going to be completed. So we always have to have deadlines. So we take care of that one, and then we go to the next one, but we stay focused. Something that made a huge difference in our company was that one thing was to develop a maintenance division in our company. And we focused on that. Took us a long time to put it together, but it changed our company. And just that's when things really took off. So it was a great thing for us, but we really put our efforts into doing it, created a lot of new workforce, a huge profit center. So for us, that's what it was. For you, well, maybe it's getting some of these systems together. Maybe it's getting a new salesman up and trained producing. And who's going to do that? And what's the date it's going to be done by? Concentrate on that one thing, and let's get it done and get it done well. Let's go to our PDF on the action, the one thing. And let's say we're having trouble with getting reporting from accounting. So we want to have better and timely job reporting so we can manage the jobs better. So I am going to write out a process from the point where we're going to get the estimate in. We're going to look at estimate versus actual and our budgets together. Next step's going to be hand off to the foreman. How are we going to get the time back from the field, get that in? And the process is when we're going to get each of the reports so we can manage that. How's it going to be reviewed? And I'm going to draw that out. And I'm going to draw that out by the 4th of July. And I'm going to have that handled. I'm going to be responsible for it. We're going to get that one thing done. I'm going to roll it out on the 4th of July, and we're going to make that happen, that one thing. Now we're going to wrap up this simple one-page business plan, and it's going to be the eighth step, which I call the view. What does it look like, and do you like what you see? And this is really taking a step back. We've determined where we're going, our destination, where we want to end up, and we've basically put together a roadmap of how to get us to that point. But so often I see so many contractors that they get to that end and it's not what they expected. And they're not particularly happy about it. That can be in a lot of areas. You sell your company and you got nothing else to do except sit around and drive your wife crazy. Maybe something that I've seen so many times, they turn their business over to their kids and it tears the family apart, and everybody's fighting, and next thing you know, the business goes down the tubes, and everybody's screwed. That happens a lot. Take a good hard look and where it is that you want to end up. Here you are on top of the mountaintop. You finally made it. How does it look? Do you like what you see? Just be certain that that's what you're going to do. Maybe it's going to be travel, so maybe it's going to be a lot of golf. But think it through and be prepared for it so you can enjoy it when you do finally get there and you're looking over the mountaintop going, man, what a good ride this was. And that's a wrap. So what we've got is a one-page simple business plan, just an outline of where we want to end up, where we're going, some help on how to get there, taking a look and making sure that's we're in the right spot. That's where we're going to end up. As I said from the outset, this is not meant to be a full-blown business plan. What this is to get you started on the process of planning. Just get you thinking. Get you out of working in your business and start working on your business. Take a step back. Look at the big picture. Forest through the trees. There's a great quote I like from from Dwight D. Eisenhower. He's preparing to invade France on D-Day, and what Eisenhower says is, in preparing for battle, I have always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable. That's what it's all about, is going through the planning process and thinking about these questions, taking a hard look at where we want to go and how we're going to get there. I really hope you got value out of these two shows. As I said in the beginning, if there was one thing that I could have done when I started my business that I would have done differently, would have been to start with a good business plan. I'd really appreciate your feedback. And if you could go to theroofershow.com, subscribe to my newsletter. I've got some good information and programs coming out that we're looking at and building our community of roofing contractors. And I think it would be really helpful. So you want to get on that and get some updates. Also, give me some feedback on what you think of the plan. I'd like to hear it. You can drop me a line at dave@theroofershow.com. Let me know what you think. Give me some constructive criticism or non-constructive. But I'm always looking to learn and looking to get better. So you could really help me out on that if you would. We'll be back at you next week. I've got a great interview lined up. So come join us on theroofershow.com, and thanks for listening. Appreciate it.